Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan, action movie. Okay, sorry. De facto action movie, I guess. But it's award season, so this seems like an odd entry. From director David Fincher, Michael Fassbender is the killer, and that's the only name we'll ever know him by.
We know him by a lot of names, but that's...
Well, that is also true and hilarious.
That is the closest name to the real name he has, probably.
Yeah. Based on a set of French graphic novels, or a French graphic novel called The Killer, he is a nameless hitman for hire who travels around the world and kills people. More often than not. I believe at the beginning of this film, he says he would have he would be batting 1,000, but he refuses to take credit for a heart attack caused by nicotine and stress.
Something else.
Yeah. Basically. So he won't take credit for the guy he was supposed to kill, but who died before he could get to him. He's no longer batting 1,000. Which is why the movie is what it is. A job goes wrong. I was briefly reminded of the opening sequence of Gross Point Blank.
Sure.
In this, although this is not nearly as hilarious as the opening sequence of Gross Point Blank is. But I was reminded of it. A hitman on the run. Or he doesn't think he's on the run. I don't know that he's ever actually on the run. He's just trying to get home to lay low until everything blows over. But home is not where he left it, so to speak. And so he has to go and rectify some things. So we get a revenge movie instead. It's like a reverse John Wick. Although John Wick is infinitely better than this.
I don't know.
I didn't really know what to think of this movie going in. Because I had seen the poster and I caught a blip of a commercial. And I was like, okay, Fassbender, hitman. I'm cool. David Fincher, that's fine. You know, they could pick a worse director for a movie like this. What did you know going in? What were you thinking going in? Were you thinking anything going in?
Oh, I knew nothing. I mean, beyond Venture, Fassbender, and the title. I don't even think that I knew. I think I knew it was an assassin.
Right.
But that's about it. That's about all I really knew. I think just based on what you said, I probably enjoyed this film a lot more than you did. I thought it was, there's a very dark comedic element that's floating somewhere in this that, it's the monotony and the repetition of, and the almost mundane nature of being a hitman.
Right.
And there's some witty stuff in there too. Gross Point Blank is not a phenomenal film.
And if you haven't seen it, go watch it.
No, you need to. If nothing else, the convenience store.
Oh my God.
The convenience store scene is probably one of the best.
That's just a great action scene.
It is. No, it's that whole movie is a comedy that knows it's a comedy, but it has some of the best action sequences in it that you're going to see in a film.
Actually, really,
because they had to be very creative. This film the kill scenes are well, there's not many for one, but they're not. Well, I guess there's
a few,
but it's they're not elaborate set pieces. There are a couple things here and there in this movie that would probably qualify for that, but this is more, not an action film.
It's almost a spy thriller.
It's almost in the vein of The American,
yeah,
which is the Anton Corbijn film with Clooney that a lot of people didn't like because they thought they were getting an action film, and that wasn't an action film. I don't know. I mean, I think that Fincher actually shows a lot of restraint in this film, at least for him. Other people, they might be, but the violence is just bursts of violence. It's not even a constant.
No, there's only, you're right there. I mean, people get killed in this, but there's one fight scene.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's a really intense fight scene in Florida with Florida Man.
Yeah, it's pretty. But I do love that it ends with him talking about this is how far you have to go if you're going to have this. I mean, this is literally,
we're talking about, he's talking about this. I mean, really, this movie is driven by his voiceover. And you say voiceover and you immediately think Blade Runner. You think movies that aren't necessarily good. The voiceover in this is the graphic novel narration. I don't know that's literally true, but that's what it would be. That's the role that his narration fills.
I think the big difference too would be Blade Runner was never written with the idea of having the narration voiceover, whereas this was clearly... Not only was it, something, it might have, it's the main way that this story gets told. And it's not, it's not like a passive narrator who's omniscient or whatever, sees everything and comments everything. It's in the moment. You're in his head.
Yeah.
So it's not, I mean, a lot of times when you have a narrator and voiceover, it's a cheat because they understand, they looked at what they had and they said, no one's going to understand what we're doing here unless we throw on a voiceover. Whereas with this, it was part of everything from the very beginning. And I don't know that you can make this film without that.
No, it's a completely different film that you have to make to get the points across. He's talking us through the film because he's talking himself through every situation. Everything he says, he's talking to himself.
Exactly.
And you are in fact wrong. I did enjoy this movie quite a bit. It's funny because I wrote down, it's like the opening 20 minutes, literally nothing happens except that he's talking to himself about how and why he does his job.
Yeah.
And so it's like he's a mantra for 20 minutes.
Sure. And it's how nothing happens.
Yeah.
It's literally like, you think my life is going to be exciting. You think that, let me show you what my life really is like.
Yeah. The hardest part of this job is patience.
Yeah.
And that's, you just watch it and you're just like, yep. But that 20 minutes is completely worth it. And then there's something bad happens.
It's a little details though. It's the checking the pace of his heart. It's all the little nuances of things that in a lot of assassin films, just they're not explored.
No.
Most assassin films, we see a guy set up a long range rifle, look through the scope and shoot. We don't get the internal, what we get in this film, essentially.
All I need is a pulse rate below 60 and a consistent trigger squeeze.
Yeah. And that's a pretty amazing little detail, you know. And it's not easy, and it actually makes it if you've ever, you know, I mean, do your heart rate and that sort of thing, it's not easy to get to 60, you know. I mean, no. That's, you know, that is like you are totally chill.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, it almost like he says stuff like that throughout the film, and it's like, oh wow. It's more than just being a good shot. It's more than just being able to take a punch or two. It's more than just not having any sort of moral, you know, objection to what you're doing. And
Stick to the plan. Anticipate. Don't improvise. So I actually liked it for all of those reasons. I liked the way this character's lifestyle was presented. I loved the way he was, like when he pulled up to his storage unit and he was picking out what he needed, both, you know, hardware and paperwork. I loved that just the methodical nature of it all was he had this stuff filed away and in this very intelligent way. And, go to the rack of license plates and do this thing and do the other thing. And, so there was a plan and he stuck to it and it all worked, you know, and you see him counting door times and all of that stuff. And you see he has to order something from Amazon at one point.
I guess there's also, for as challenging as it is that they make this disappear, there is also a simplicity and the ordering stuff from Amazon that, you know, a lot of the things he does, it's like, well, I could do that.
But you can't
and
do
if
it
I
all.
Could do that, I can't do it all, but it suddenly there's a like some of the crazier things. It's like, wait a minute, you know, how safe is the world really? If this guy can, you know, improvise,
make a plan,
improvising, I guess he has a plan and he knows that. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I think one thing that I was fascinated with was half the time, that might be an exaggeration, but a lot of the time in this film, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he's looking for. I don't know what he's listening for.
Nope.
Until he hears it or he sees it. And then he sees it and I go, oh, that's what, you know, and it's like, well, obviously I should have been able to figure that out, but I, you know, it's just the way that the film kind of develops and unravels and shows it's like, typically if you're in somebody's head, you kind of understand what's going on in there. In this one, you don't necessarily know what's going on. You're kind of a visitor who's just observing and,
but you know, none of it, but next. None of it's wrong.
We
talk, you know, how much we love John Wick. Some of it's just patently ridiculous, but it makes sense in its universe. Everything in this makes sense in this universe.
Yeah. There's a realism factor to this. You know, there's obviously, you know, there's still a couple of sensational things to it.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's really grounded.
Mm.
But at the same time, I do like that there is a little wink, wink occasionally, and a lot of that comes with his identity.
Yes, all of his aliases, none of which we will spoil for you. Some people are going to have to look up. At least two.
I mean, but
depending on your age and or your television background.
There you go, and. It's just it's an additional layer, though. Mm-hmm. It's not like even necessary, but it's another layer, and I hope that's in the graphic. Well, I don't care if it is or not. Maybe it works, but it just seems like something that would be in the graphic novel.
It's a French language, so I'm wondering if all of his aliases there are like
the
French equivalents.
Yeah,
because I don't want to say too much, but the French equivalent, something that the French people would just kind of chuckle about.
Yeah.
How does he get away with that? But he does in all of this. But hey, look, if you enjoy what you're seeing and hearing on the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast, why not take a second to click subscribe if you're on YouTube? Click follow wherever you're listening to us. You know, follow us on Twitter at VS Movie Podcast. Same over on Facebook. If you're on Instagram, it's Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. That would be awesome for us. We appreciate you listening. And now let's get back to the show.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So we both liked the movie. What did you think of Trent Reznor and Atticus Finch's music?
It's the most industrial score that I think Trent's done since... goodness gracious, maybe ever. Lost Highway, he kind of curated that soundtrack, but that wasn't really it. But no, I mean, this is like it's a grinding and noisy, and
it's industrial. It's clearly music, Cole.
Yeah,
but a lot of it it's almost just industrial noise.
Yeah.
And I called them vintage moody pop, and I used that term loosely songs. I think there was an over reliance on those.
The Smiths. Okay, so I've read a few things from Fincher, and originally the idea wasn't going to be Diddy. He only mostly listened to one band.
Right.
For anyone who kind of knows the Smiths or has any affinity towards the Smiths, there's almost a part of it that it makes complete sense that a assassin would use. The Smiths, which is probably really offensive to Morrissey, who is the singer who would like to think of himself as a great pacifist and whatnot. But
I just said he can't be this depressed all the time.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you'd be surprised. A lot of that was kind of the soundtrack of my high school years, at least an aspect of it. So,
well, I mean, Fassbender. This character cannot be that depressed all the time, because I feel like it's depression music.
Yeah, it is.
Because the Smiths is not my thing. Let's be clear.
No, but there is something very cheeky about it. Apparently, originally, it was going to be a lot of post-punk bands, or Susan and the Banshees, things like that, but it for whatever reason, it kind of got whittled down, licensing and whatnot, to this idea of it just being the Smiths. And I think it's a good joke for those who get it. I mean, I can see how you wouldn't necessarily, if you weren't into the Smiths or kind of know the Smiths, it might not be nearly as funny in a way. You know, there's some very experimental audio mixing that's going on. You flip back and forth very quickly from inside his head to a more traditional score to inside his head and back and forth. It is almost completely randomly, but obviously, a lot of work went into getting the sound. You know, sometimes it's only coming out from, you know, one side or the other. There's a lot of audio mix stuff that they did in this that depending on, I guess, how you think about mixing, it's either, should you, I guess the argument would be, should you notice when a film is mixed, when a lot of effort went into that, or should the film be the should be that the audio aspect did not play a role.
Right.
I think between this and Spider-Verse, this year's Spider-Verse, they just do a lot of fun and crazy stuff with the sound, and I enjoyed that experimentation and that playing of things. At first, in this film, it's a little jarring. But by the end, you're very used to it. You're very, you know, you get what's going on. And if I were to watch the film again, it probably would never feel jarring because I understand what he's doing with it. And I think there's a lot of risks that we're taking with this film. I think that Fincher's the sort of director that people are going to look at this film and examine every little detail. And I don't know that anyone has control over every tiny little detail. But the illusion of it, Fincher has that illusion.
Yeah.
So people are going to probably write fantastic dissertations on this film that are completely rooted in things that aren't true.
Right. or things that were actually not controllable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think Fincher's smart enough that he would never tell you which of those things.
Nope. The magician never reveals his secrets. So last thing, let's talk about cinematography real quick. You know, I said it's based on a graphic novel. And I love that, especially in the opening, that opening 20 minutes, so many of those shots feel like they are panels.
Sure. Yeah.
And the way
it's framed and everything.
Yeah. I love it when they use illustrated material, they'll either try to pull, you know, frame for frame or give you that feel. Again, that's why so many people like The Watchmen is because there's so much from the graphic novel visually that's sure, just moved over. And you know, you can take that as a plus or a minus for Zack Snyder, but it's part of the appeal of that film. If you liked the graphic novel, there's just so much of that. You know, it just feels like a motion version of all those panels for the most part. And like I said, I haven't read the graphic novels for The Killer, but there's so much of stuff that feels like it should have been should be in a graphic novel. Feels like it would fit in a graphic novel for this guy. And I like it when they don't shy away from that look when that's your source material. That, for me at least, I find that appealing.
Yeah. No, I think I enjoyed this film more than most of the films I've seen this year.
Surprisingly, who would have thought? It's definitely on the right side of good.
Typically, if you go to a film and you know the director's messing with you, it can be an annoying thing. Mm-hmm. For me, in the case of this film, I kind of enjoyed the fact that I was being messed with. That's probably not the best way to put it, but I felt there was a certain engagement with this, mm-hmm. that it felt as if Fincher and I were kind of on the same wavelength sort of thing. Like, oh, I get what you're doing.
Yep.
Oh, and I really kind of dig what you're doing.
I like where your head's at.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm connecting with this and in ways that I really wasn't expecting to. So to me, I don't know that I should call it a fun movie.
That's a fun movie. There are parts that are fun. It depends on how you classify fun, but.
Yeah, I just had a really good time with the movie.
But it's also terribly deliberate. Everything is deliberate. It's like, stick to the plan. Don't anticipate. Don't improvise. That's literally this film. I mean, it's had to be what he put on the jackets for the crew. But before we talk about when it's out, when you can watch it, where you can watch it, always have to mention when Tilda Swinton's in a movie.
And she's And this shouldn't surprise too many people. And she's really good.
And she's really good. And well, here's the thing. She's both really good. And it's almost, her part is almost a waste.
Because, well, yes.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, yes, why did we not get, a wasted opportunity? Let's put it that way.
Could you do a spin-off based entirely off of her character?
Or should we have had more of her?
I think for what the story of this film itself, it's the time that is spent is appropriate.
Yeah, it's now, but it's just like, yeah, but you can be both happy and disappointed in a performance, and that's where I'm at.
I was, you know, maybe if this was a series of six episodes and you devote three to him and three to her.
And alternate.
You could do that, you know, and with the understanding that ultimately they're going to collide at some point.
Yep.
And it must be said that little section of the film is really quite fulfilling.
Yeah. It really is.
There's a lot of stuff that's going on in there that just a lot of little detail there. That's I guess that's what's fun about some of Fincher's stuff, and most of Fincher's stuff is that he does, you know, fill the world with lots of little details and things. And again, it's the illusion of controlling everything. But he does control a lot of it.
Yes, he does. So the killer, an hour 58, sub 2 hours, rated R because there's a lot of death. Well, there's not a lot of death, but there is enough. There's one fight scene. It's in select theaters right now, and it hits Netflix on November 10th. So I will be watching it again when it hits Netflix.
Yeah, I really like seeing this in a movie theater, and I think part of it is because of the attention detail that Fincher gives.
Yeah,
I don't know that I can watch it now at home, but I think that if you can see it in a theater,
it's totally worth it.
I think I would do so. I guess it should be said, if you hate David Fincher, I don't know that you're going to necessarily.
Probably not.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's a slightly different thing than what he usually does. And he kind of plays against kind of his reputation.
Yeah.
And a couple little points and whatnot. So, I don't know. Yeah, maybe it is even something if you don't really particularly like him, but you're looking for your again, it's to me, it's a very European film in that it allows itself to be a character slow burn sort of thriller, sort of, rather than the action thriller that we think of in from more of a James Bond or an American Mission Impossible or something along those lines. This is the other side of the coin. The other side of the coin of those.
Yeah. It's So surprise. Actually, I didn't think you would like it that much. So I'm surprised by that.
I think Fincher. I've always really liked Fincher. Sometimes he overthinks and makes things harder on himself than he needs to. And sometimes that turns out to, you know, for great cinematography or whatnot, but. He got a start in music videos, and I don't think that aspect of his, you know, filmmaking has gone away. I think he has a really pacing. He's got a pretty good grasp on how to keep, you know, kind of the rhythm of things going. Mm. And I appreciate that. No, I like Fincher a lot.
Yeah.
Probably more so than a sane person would.
So we both recommend seeing it in theaters if it's in your area.
And if you can't, I mean, just see it. I I don't know. I just I don't want this film to get overlooked, and I think it could. You know, I can see this being one of those films where it's like, oh, but did you see that? No, I didn't. Oh, but you should have seen that. Yeah, you know, or you know, it's like I don't want this the film to be like, and then 30 years later, people learned to do the, you know, yeah, discovered it, became. I mean, discover it now. It's going to be right there for you.
Absolutely. So there you go. That's The Killers. I said select theaters this weekend. Netflix on the 10th of November. Check it out. Don't forget to like us, follow us on social media. You know how all that works. We've got lots of stuff coming out that we're going to be talking about. So until next time, stay safe, be good, go see a good movie. There are several in theaters still. Till we talk to you again, I'm Mark. That is Ryan. Bye, Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan.
And we will talk to you all later.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.